Europe in my backyard.
L'Europa in casa nostra.
Europa in mi casa.
Un'inchiesta radiofonica sulla politica di coesione europea.
Radijsko poručanje o evropski kohezijski politiki.
Europe in my backyard.
Radio reporting.
Un'inchiesta.
Radio reportage.
Un spazio radiofonico sobre la politica europea de coesión.
Az európai kohéziós politika nyomában.
Radio reporting.
Radio reportage.
On European cohesion policy.
Über die europäische Kohäsionspolitik.
Hello and welcome to Europe in My Backyard. I'm Paula Wiseman, and over the course of this series we're going to be hearing about the many ways in which European cohesion policy is impacting us on our daily lives. So today I'm lucky enough to be joined by Barbara Nolan, head of the European Commission representation in Ireland. And then later I'm going to be chatting with Mario Vatero, Director of Strategy, Business Intelligence and Operations at Rethink Ireland and manager of the Fuse project. So, let's start with you, Barbara. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Paula. Delighted to be here.
Fantastic. So, can you tell us, like, a lot of people have probably heard of the European Commission, but what exactly is it? Can you give us an idiot's guide to what is it?
Yes, well, the European Commission is one of the main institutions that make up the European Union. It's basically the civil service of the European Union, so we execute policies that are agreed by the member states, but we also make proposals, which is different. So we can make a proposal for a law. We don't decide on the law. The law is decided on by the member states,
yeah,
the representatives of the member states, and the members of the European Parliament. So we make the proposals. They are either agreed or they're not agreed, but we don't have the power to agree our own proposals, if you like. So it's quite an important, it's a civil service with an added plus, if I may say so, in that regard, in the way in which it can make proposals itself. Of course, it is the guarantor of the treaties. We make sure that member states are respecting their commitments under the EU treaties. If they sign up to laws, that they've actually adopted those laws and integrated them into their national legislation. Basically to keep the machine that is the European Union running smoothly and to make sure all the member states are respecting their rights and obligations under the treaties.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big wheel, isn't it? I mean, with a lot of countries involved. So, I mean, what does your job involve within the Commission as the representative for Ireland?
Well, Paula, I'm like the EU ambassador here in Ireland. So my job is to promote the European Union's policies. I'm also here to make sure that the European Union, so our headquarters is in Brussels, that they are also informed about what Irish people are saying and what our priorities in Ireland, so that there's a good flow of communication and information between the EU and the member states. And in this case, of course, we're talking about Ireland. I also organise visits for commissioners, so the top level of the commission, when they come to Ireland, so that they meet the relevant interlocutors, that they see interesting projects, that they get a feel for the country, as well as just meeting, you know, the senior politicians, that they also get to out there to see projects and to see how European funds are being spent on the ground, on, you know, the valuable work that's being done around the country,
yeah,
as a result of EU funding for different purposes.
Yeah, I mean, so do you get to see the impact of the of the EU funding? Do you get to see much of the organisations that the EU is helping?
Absolutely. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, I had The commissioner who's responsible for social policy, Nicola Schmidt, here in Dublin, and we went out to Clondalkin to visit a youth reach project, which was very impressive to see how young people who may have left school early or fallen through the cracks, usually quite young, 16 to 18, maybe a little bit older, how they are getting a second chance through this programme, building up their confidence and also trying to find what they really want to do in life and pursue the relevant courses that will help them get the career they want. So it was really quite impressive, and we heard from the young people themselves, so it wasn't, if you like, just the senior officials talking to the senior officials, and we don't actually know what's going on the ground. So it was a great opportunity to get out there and meet people, and this is what we try to do whenever we have a VIP guest over from the commission, so that they get to see how the funds are working in practice on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing better, is there, than, you know, being at the start of a chain and then seeing how rewarding this is for, you know, the kids at Youth Reach, that they're really, really benefiting from this EU money.
Yeah, well, I mean, you said, you know, the chain. I mean, we met people who had just started on this course, so they were quite new, quite shy, some of them not used to speaking in public. And then we met a group that had graduated the course. And I mean, the difference was just amazing. I mean, how they had now, they were all on different career paths. They were all very, very positive about the experience and how wonderful the staff had been in terms of helping them, you know, regain, if you like, things that may have been bullied, whatever had happened in school, the school experience hadn't worked. So, you know, it's really, I mean, we cannot possibly be happy with the situation that sees young people, so 18-year-olds on the scrap heap. This is ridiculous. They have their lives ahead of them, and we absolutely have to intervene to get things back on track.
Yeah, we were saying earlier that Ireland is not getting as much money in this period for the EU funding. What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, you know, ironically, that's a good news story, and I'll tell you why, Paula. Because when Ireland joined the European Union back in 1973, we're coming up to the 50th anniversary next year. It was the poorest country in the European Union at the time. Now, today, Ireland is ranked as the second richest country, GDP per capita, in the European Union. This is a good news story.
Yeah, definitely.
But it also means that funds that Ireland got when it needed it to bring it up to a higher level economically, they now have to go more so to other countries, newcomers, etc., who have a much lower standard of living than Ireland. And that is what, you know, cohesion means. We are trying to lift, if you like, those regions that are actually under the European average up to the European average.
Yeah.
And those who have kind of made it have to settle for less of the cake. And I think that most people understand that, and it's logical. But of course, when we support a programme, we always expect, if it's a successful one, that the member states will continue funding these things if they're a success. So, you know, if you take, say, the Youth Reach, I mean, this is a great programme as far as we could judge. And, you know, even if EU funding was ever to dry up, which it's not, because these are people who need, you know, marginalised communities, etc., who are still in receipt of EU funding. So there's still some EU funding coming, roughly €1 billion on this financing period, which is usually topped up by the government to bring it up to €2 billion. So, you know, another complementary addition. So, I mean, the idea is that, you know, there will be always funding for specific reasons. For example, I mentioned Brexit.
Yeah.
There are special funds for those countries most impacted by Brexit.
Yeah.
And Ireland is one of those countries. So Ireland got another piece of pie to help those communities, like, say, fishing communities, who have specific problems because of Brexit.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ireland will get also €1 billion under that fund. So there's other sources of funding for particular problems, perhaps also linked to climate change or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But so Ireland still continues to get funds, but never, not on the same level that it got back in the 80s and 90s when Ireland really needed that lift to bring it up to the EU average.
Yeah. It's like being part of a club, isn't it? You know what I mean? And obviously sort of some members need a little bit more help to bring them up to the standard of other clubs. And it's a nice kind of a balancing system.
That's exactly, I mean, that's exactly the principle. And it's also based on solidarity. We're in a club that believes in solidarity with its members. And, you know, we need to show solidarity to those who are living in less, more disadvantaged regions, if you like, more disadvantaged circumstances. And that's the whole kind of philosophy, if you like, behind cohesion.
Yeah.
We don't want to have parts of the European Union so far below other parts that, you know, it's like living on two planets.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not the idea of the European Union. So, you know, that is really where we're going with cohesion policy, to lift people up at least to the EU average.
Yeah. I mean, how important would you say this funding is to Ireland? You know, so we've spoken to a few projects over the past few weeks, and we've got we'll have a load more projects to speak to as well. I mean, how important do you think this money is to Ireland?
Well, I think it was very important, as I said, in the boost it has given over the years to, first of all, say, upskill people.
Yeah.
So people often think EU money, it's for bridges, roads, you know, that kind of thing. Yes, it is. But it's also for people.
Mm.
It's also to give to develop people's skills.
Yeah.
It's also to give them the opportunity to, you know, follow different courses that may be in demand, and therefore they, you know, their chances of getting a job is much higher. So Ireland has very, I think, cleverly, it's sort of a poster boy considered to be for the funds, how it spent the funds, because it didn't put all its eggs in one basket. It didn't just build bridges and roads. It used a substantial portion of their funding for investing in human capital, as they call it, so people basically, and training and retraining people so that, you know, their chances of getting employment were enhanced, if you like.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that is really, and then obviously there are specific projects that, you know, I could mention the renewal and modernization of the port of Rosslare, for example, now that a lot of the trucks are no longer crossing the channel and driving through the UK. We now have obviously a complete new movement, if you like, of traffic through Rosslare to the continent, directly to the continent. So one of the things, a project I could mention is that. Another one is building a new bridge over the River Lee in Cork. The regeneration of the Baths in Dunleary.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things are important projects that, you know, are visible, if you like. I mean, people don't walk around with the sign on their head saying, I was trained by the European Social Fund. So you don't always, it's not always tangible.
Yeah,
you don't always see it.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I first arrived in Brussels, the joke was Ireland had trained its workforce three times over because they were spending so much money on training and retraining people. But, you know, this really did pay off in the end because people had the skills when the multinationals came, etc. They found a qualified workforce here. So, you know, it did have a very good lasting impact on, you know, the development of the country and, of course, on people's employment prospects.
Well, thanks so much for that, Barbara. Now we move on to Mario Viterbo, who is from one of these projects that's been lucky enough to receive some EU funding. He is the manager of the Fuse project. So welcome, Mario.
Thank you, Paula. Pleasure to be here.
Fantastic. Thank you for coming in. So can you tell us, what is Fuse? What is the Fuse project all about?
Perfect. Yes, sure. My pleasure. Well, maybe we will start with the name.
Okay.
Okay. FUSE stands for Facilitating the United Approaches to Social Innovation in Europe. And the FUSE is one of the six projects supported by the European Commission in order to establish a national competence center for social innovation in each member state across the European Union. So let's focus about the FUSE consortium. So at Rethink Ireland, we are leading this international consortium with partners from Ireland, Portugal, Bulgaria, and Cyprus to strengthen our social innovation ecosystems. Mm-hmm. So over a 2 year period, from May 2021 to May 2023, the consortium's members are working to identify and validate the needs and gaps in the social innovation ecosystem of each one of these countries.
Right.
With the ultimate goal of establishing a sustainable national competence center for social innovation in each country.
Yeah.
I will say one of the key areas that is extremely important in our consortium is the transnational cooperation, the change of learning between European partners. At the end, if you ask me, one of the key objectives of the FUSE project is how we can improve the use of the European Social Fund effectiveness to support the development of the social innovation ecosystem in each European country.
Yeah, so I mean, you're funded through the ESF?
Yes.
So how did you go about getting, was there a process for applying for the funding?
Yes, it was a process to apply for the funding. Actually, last year when this call appears, the first step was to get endorsed by the Irish government in order to apply. So the Irish government endorsed Rethink Ireland together with Genio, that is our partners here in Ireland. Mm-hmm. We applied together, forming a European consortium, bringing partners from Bulgaria, Cyprus and Portugal. So this was initially how we managed to stand for the FUSE project.
Yeah. So, I mean, it worked in your favour, obviously, having this group of countries, you know, all kind of coming together.
Totally.
For this project.
Totally. And as Barbara was saying, I think that's probably one of the beauties when you're working in these European projects, is about cooperation, is about transnational exchange of learnings. We are very different countries, but at the same time, we have very similar societal challenges, environmental challenges. And it's nice to be able to exchange, you know, our learnings in a framework like these European projects.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and at the same trying to have this legitimacy, you know, of working at the European level and bringing different type of actors with a common goal.
Yeah,
like, for example, improve the societal and environmental challenges that we are all facing in each one of our countries.
Yeah, so I mean, could you operate without the funding? If they turned around to you and said, "Oh, look, we're really sorry, but we just don't have the money for your project," could the project exist without it?
Well, it's a really good question. I will say, of course, it's providing the working capital.
Yeah.
Okay, that's clear for the strategical development of the project. But it's more than that, I would say. It's not only about the working capital, it's also about providing that kind of framework to bring all these different actors together. In our case, we are working with the government, we are working with private sector, civil society, and academia. And thanks, I will say, to the framework of the project, we are able to do in this. Mm. For example, the FUSE project, yes, is founded by the European Commission, but at the same time is co-founded by the Irish government.
Yeah,
you know,
it's quite an important badge to have, isn't it?
Yes, totally. Yes. And we are really happy. We think it's a huge responsibility.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we are really happy to bring together all the different actors with a common objective.
Yeah, no pressure. Yeah. No pressure at all. So, I mean, how long did it take from you applying for the funding to you getting the funding? Was it a long process or was it fairly... you know, in the grand scheme of things, was it a fairly quick process?
Well, it's an interesting question, no? I mean, it took us a couple months to get endorsed.
Yeah.
After that, it took us a couple months again to form a consortium, because then you need to start taking, okay, we are talking here that it needs to be a European consortium.
Mm.
So you need to look for the right partners.
Yeah.
You need to look also for how you can complement each other, what it will be the role of each one in this type of projects, and then to see that we have a common agenda, so we want to work together. And we work together, I will say, for at least 4 months, just in preparing the proposal and submitting that proposal. And then actually, we'll say the process to be successful was quite fast. We received a response from the European Commission, I will say, 3 months after submission. Yes, and Yes, and now we are really happy working and moving together.
That's crazy. You kind of you don't really realize how long these things take. Obviously, you're putting together a proposal.
Yes.
You're kind of like, right, I need to write a list of this is what we want to achieve.
Yeah.
And you know, and you obviously want to put together the best proposal to get the idea across of what you want to get done eventually.
But I think that's what I feel is a good filter.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there is a huge effort that you need to put in place if you want to go forward.
Mm.
But also it helps your strategical thinking, right? Okay, why I'm doing this? That's the main question. Why I'm doing it? Then it's how you want to do this. How you will be implementing this action, how much is going to be the cost, what is the effort behind for you, what are the key partners that you want to be including so this is, will be effective. For example, in the FUSE project for us, something that was very important is to have a very inclusive and participatory approach.
Mm.
So we have members from, as I was saying, from academia, government, private sector, civil society. So at the end, if we want to make a change in the social innovation ecosystem in Ireland, we need everyone on board from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like a big super brain.
And yes,
you've got all these different components of this super brain to, you know, to achieve the goal.
Totally, totally. Yeah, yeah. And I will say be open for experimentation. When we talk about social innovation, it's about experimentation. It's being open, you know, to go there and experiment, you know, and be able to be there and be open for a different type of thinking from the other side.
Yeah.
And see that together we can build something that is much stronger.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and hopefully we can together be solving those societal challenges and environmental challenges that we are facing today.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, if there's anybody listening that's kind of thinking, I've got a project and I'd love to get funding. I mean, what advice would you give to anyone that's listening today, you know, based on your own journey with FUSE? What kind of advice would you give to anybody that's looking to apply for funding from the EU?
Yes. Well, I will say the first thing is like in any European call, there is very clear objectives.
Mm.
Okay. And what are the key activities that you need to be including? So this is aligned with your purpose. That's the first thing. This is aligned with what you want to be doing in the coming years. If the answer is yes, go for it. Do it a trial. And I will say right now it's much easier than before. There is a European portal that it helps you even to get in touch with potential partners.
Mm.
You know, it takes time. It takes an effort, but I think it's very nice to be working in European projects and be able to change your learnings and be looking together for a better future.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
No, I can tell from speaking to you that you're absolutely loving what you
yes.
do. You're very passionate about your project.
Yeah, well, I will say that even in the past, I have been working in more than 40 European projects in the past, supporting strategically how to develop European projects across the world. So, yeah, I'm something that I really believe in it. As Barbara was saying, I think the European Union as a whole is a beautiful concept.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big old wheel, and you're a little cog in this massive, massive wheel.
Yes,
it must be so rewarding as well when you see the effect what your project has had on people and companies and things.
Totally, totally. Yeah, yeah. I think it's a huge rewarding. Yeah, to see how we can all together make a better change. You know.
That's the thing. I think at the heart of it, it's about making change. You know, and seeing that what you're doing is making change. You know, it might take a little while to implement the systems and things, but at the end of the day, what you're doing is going to, you know, impact on a lot of people.
I totally agree. And sometimes what I feel like this European project, it helps you, you know, to get the funding and the framework to focus in this strategical development that is aside to your daily work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's really helpful, you know, and also to bring in that picture different partner, strategical partners, you know, that help you to think out of the box.
Yeah.
That all of us, sometimes we need that.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously this new period we're going into now, the 21 to 27.
Yes.
And then, you know, there's all these different new projects every day, do you know what I mean, that are being born. It's, you know, it's quite special really, isn't it, when you think about it.
And I will say there is a lot of opportunities that are coming,
definitely.
You know, in this new period, 2021, 2027. Yes, there will be definitely a lot of opportunities coming.
Mm.
So if you're interested, I really encourage you to apply and look, you know, for the right European project to go for.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today, Mario. It's been fantastic. And thanks to you, Barbara, as well. And thanks to both of you for coming into the studio today to chat with me. So that's all from us this week. Thank you so, so much to my guests, Barbara Nolan and Mario Vitero. You can listen again to our interviews for this series at nearfm.ie/podcast. Or you can email us, europe@near.ie.
Europe in My Backyard is financed by the Department for Regional and Urban Policy through the European Commission.